Leslie Newbegin was a missionary for years in India and came home to England to discover that England needed the gospel. It developed this term about missional. It's really about trying to understand what have we done right overseas. We sent our money, we sent our children, we sent our prayers. What does it mean now to, in our context, to be missional? Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, the story of Jesus immersed in ministry, and then of all whose disciples who began to follow him, how he targeted and called out 12 that he would call apostles. Verse 7, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea and Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. He wants us to tell. It's not up to the evil ones to do this. All the things that Jesus was doing, he wants to do to and through us today. That's healing. That's setting people free from all the things that ails them. Now here's a strategy. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew; Matthew, Thomas; James, the son of Alphaeus; Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot; and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. You know, 90% of mission is showing up, and the other 10% is paying attention. And it's paying attention to what God is already doing. What happens further to that is that God tells us what it is he wants us to do. He wants to call us. He wants to use us. He wants us to listen. He wants us to be involved to set people free from all that ails them. 90% of mission is showing up and paying attention and then asking and responding to what it is God has for us. There are three things, however, that most people are desperately looking for in life, and they're so desperate they'll even come to church. And those three things are community. And the second thing is spirituality, knowing God and being known and loved and forgiven. The third thing is destiny, or we would call it mission or purpose or reason to get up in the morning. Those three things people are desperately looking for. Jesus, the sent one, is part of God's reclamation project. The mission of God that Jesus is about in this world, of reclaiming people and places and things that he wants to bring back to himself. God sent forth the Son because he loved the cosmos so much. This is a place of community that some people are desperately looking for. He called these 12 disciples that they might be with him. And the sense of withness is the sense of community, where God says it's not good that we should be alone. That goes right back to Genesis, back to God setting us in families. What is the sense of withness? We know in the church, St. Paul talks about the body of Christ, where we all are instruments of grace. We all have been Holy Spirited in different ways. If you're a leader, lead. If you have hospitality, then show it. If you have the gift of mercy, then be merciful. We're all to be merciful, but there are different gifts that are apportioned by the Spirit, as we know, and the whole body functions together. Think of it as a symphony or a band or an orchestra, where the flute section is not the string section, is not the brass section. And everybody is an important part of God's community. Think of it as an English garden that's beginning to bloom. So there's this orchestration, even of the beauty of sight and smell, and then of sound of the instrument, and then of the body of the church. God, through Jesus, the head of the church, orchestrates and makes us to be a beautiful thing. As Jean Vanier says, we might have chosen different people. We might have chosen those who are more intelligent or more handsome or beautiful, or those who are more gifted. But he says these are the ones that God has chosen for us, and with whom we are to build community. Have you ever asked why it is that there have been 12 seasons of Survivor on TV? where you can get voted off the island. But you know when they do that autopsy at the end where they all come together and talk about what they've learned? Some of them actually confess that it was about belonging. And they do discover that there is something that happens to them in the context of community. Sometimes Hollywood has figured out that people are desperate for these kinds of things that we believe is found only in the fellowship and family of the church. There's a reason people go back to Montana or Manitoba, pretend it's 1840 or something, without air conditioning and all the benefits of the things we take for granted, build a cabin, hew it out of the woods, make new barns and grow crops, and they do it together and learn something about themselves in family that perhaps you don't know in our day anymore. Community. If there are two people on the elevator, you'll talk. If there are 13, nobody talks. More people doesn't mean more community. You have to embrace, you have to welcome, you have to ask, you have to figure out ways of gathering people in. All of the things that Jesus was doing, so profound, so wonderful, so attractive, so necessary. So many people followed him that he had to get in a boat and go off from the shore a little bit and just talk to them along the seashore. Pressing forward, sometimes pressing to touch him, sometimes trying to be in the house, sometimes bringing their friend and letting them down through the roof, desperate to know Jesus. And in his humanity, he couldn't touch everybody, but by his Spirit now he can, as through your life and mine, he does the things that he did those many years ago. We think then of the point of spirituality that they were with him, and we ultimately are drawn to be with the Savior, whom we believe is the Lord of glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords, that in him all things hold together, that in him all things consist, that he is the revelation of God, that he is the one that we, by faith now, believe is the one who will come and bring all together at the end of the age. I heard of an old lady who was 92 or 3, and she was deaf, and the doctor said to her that she was going to go blind as well. And she answered, I think, with enormous courage, not to worry, for if the world be closed to me without, I'll sail the hidden seas within. She had discovered what it means to have a life hidden with God in Christ. She knew that inside there are conduits of grace that happen because she'd spent time with Jesus. There's some people whose inner seas within are like a smelly, shallow duck pond, and there are others whose hidden seas within are like the oceans of life. Vast and wide and teeming. Emily Dickinson, the American poet, used to say that art is a house that longs to be haunted. She wasn't talking about Halloween. She's talking about what happens when all art, all music, all beauty is somehow taken up and animated by something other. The writers call it the muses. We, as Christians, know that the Holy Spirit must be in the temple of our life, in the temple of our church and community worship together, before there is the aroma of the presence of Jesus Christ. The animating. You know, sometimes people can play the piano or an instrument, but they've never had their heart broken, they've never been in love and lost. And you can play the same right notes, but something's different. And your heart communicates at that level. And for those of us who walk in the Spirit, there's an animation in the head of the church and a fellowship of the Holy Spirit that is a community and a communion that happens one with another. To be loved by grace into the presence of the forgiving one is so wonderful. There's this deep sense that all of us are called, that we are not just sending missionaries, we are sent ones. The word for sent ones is apostolates, apostles. In that sense, we all are apostles. This sense of an apostolic ministry, however, is not just something that ordained people have, or religious people get paid to be professionally religious have, but all of us, I believe, have, in the context of our homes, context of our family, the context of our neighborhood. God said to Abraham one day, in effect, I have not given up on this world. I love this old world, broken and battered and sinful and evil as it is. I want to rescue this world, and guess what? I want to do it through you. Will you be my man? Through you, Abraham, and through your seed, I will bless all the nations, all the people, all the ethne of the world. And Abraham said yes. And again, reading Romans and Galatians, there's a sense in which when he said yes, it was counted to him for righteousness. Not because he's working his way to glory, but because we're called not just to get ourselves in, not even just our family in. We are called to a huge missional task. To be in Jesus is to be involved in trying to bless all the peoples of the earth. Multiculturalism in Canada, I believe, is more than Pierre Elliott Trudeau's legacy. There's a providential thing happening. The South is moving north, the East is moving west. There's an intermingling. The internet does that. My kids at school, all the way through, were friends with kids whose names I could not pronounce. We have churches in Toronto and throughout Ontario, I think, now, with 50 different nations represented. The whole world, the whole diaspora of people groups has come. People from Myanmar, from Burma, are in at least four of our churches. There are 205 nations in Toronto. This morning, 26 of our Baptist Convention churches are worshiping in a language other than English. What is going on? What is God's providence and plan in drawing the nations together? The old day, in our old thinking, we had a hub at the center of the wheel. Anything that happened had to go through me, had to go through Toronto, had to go through Mississauga, had to go through the pastor, had to go through some center. We know now that life is more organic, more holistic. If you touch anywhere in the world, we're all affected. People are hurting. We know about it. What should we do? What will be our response? How will we discern by His Spirit? How will we spend enough time close to His heart so He might show us His mind? What if it's your job to raise the spiritual temperature on your street rather than to try to get people on your street here? What if it's your job to build community on your street, where you work, where you work out, where you go to school? Lay ministry is not helping the pastor do his or her job. In fact, I'm convinced that most ministry and most mission should not happen in the context of the church. If you think of all of creation, that is a great big house. Do you ever play Clue? Mr. Mustard in the parlor with the candlestick. Think of that in terms of a blueprint of that great big old Victorian house and say, okay, this is the billiard room, this is the music room, this is the dining room, this is the kitchen, this is the living room, this is the parlor. The room of education. This is the room of culture. This is the room of agriculture. This is the room of farming, of business. This is the room of medicine. This is the room of journalism. All of these rooms of creation are where you're going to be, and I will all this week. Thank God it's Monday. Christians are not escapists from creation. In fact, we go to all those places all week. I think the local church is just the entrance hall to that kingdom house where we remind ourselves who loves us, and we train our little ones and our little ones in the faith. We share together, we receive the healing of Christ and the forgiveness of Christ again. But thank God it's Monday. It's all those different places that we're going to be released this week to go. Will you think as a missionary? How come when you go to Nairobi or Cochabamba, you have to learn the language, but you don't have to learn the language here? How come when you go to Indonesia or Myanmar, you have to learn what it means to be immersed in that culture, but here we think, well, get them away from the culture and we'll make them in our building and make them our culture, our language, our music, our style. Missionaries go. The DNA of mission, whether they come or they go, is that I must bridge. It's not about me coming to church to get my goods and services. It's about coming and dying. It's about not coming and dining. It's about coming and joining in mission. The shape of our church, ministry-wise, ought to be dictated by the mission that we're undertaking, not the other way around. It's not we have a church with a few mission projects. It's that we have a mission. We can be so churchy where it's safe on our turf that we never think about what does it mean that I'm a missionary this week, Monday to Saturday, where I'm going. And what would we do together that it would help me and my family as we sought to be missionaries, to be encouraged, to be taught and released? And as I look at these stories, I see that much of the teaching of Jesus and his disciples happened walking along the beach, not in the temple. But as you go, you'll attract them to your life, to your witness, to your words, mostly to your compassion. They're desperate for community, they're desperate for mission, they're desperate for a spiritual walk with Jesus, with others.